actually the books that I'm writing and that I'm doing is under a pen name.
Oh, what's that? What is that name?
James Wesley.
You, that sounds like a little bit of a badass right there. That.
Actually, it's a combination of my middle name and my grandfather's name.
Okay, that is still I'm getting the whole Bond vibes from that name, like Wesley, James Wesley. You know, I put a little Sean Connery in there.
Oh, there you go. Hey, he's one of my favorite actors.
Yep.
May he rest in peace.
Amen. Shaken, not stirred. Like, what? Come on now. So you're an amazing writer. Can you tell us a little bit about the works that you have in the process or published?
Yes, I've got two books. One is Greener Than Evil. The other is Slipping Into Shadows, and both are part of a overall series called The Iron Brotherhood.
Ooh.
And what that is based off of is what I've spent my career doing as an iron worker and trying to highlight the trade, a lot of the people in it, and a lot of the good perks that come with the career. I've spent a lot of time traveling around the United States and Canada and been able to see a lot of different places and get some different experiences. And so, you know, the people that I work with, the brothers that we all, you know, the brotherhood we all share, it is more of a familial bond than what people understand.
Absolutely.
And so in doing what, in the writings that I have, the iron workers are the heroes. They team up with an FBI agent to investigate various crimes. In fact, the first one, the introductory one, Meaner Than Evil, deals with a serial killer who is in their midst as actually part of the crew, and also the FBI agent who's been chasing him for over a decade. He's actually part of the crew too, undercover, and so a lot of stuff is revealed throughout that book, and you get to know the characters.
Man, look, Mr. Wesley, I know I said to get us hype about this book, but like I'm high key hyped about this. I'm like, hold up, this sounds like something I want to watch on Netflix. This sounds amazing, you know. Like, so what inspired you to? Well, you definitely said your times around, you know, your travels, the brotherhood and camaraderie and whatnot. So yeah, I don't even need to ask about the inspirations. You know, what have been some of the joys and fun parts of creating and crafting this story?
The funnest part is going through and reminiscing about some of the things that I've been able to experience on the job in different places. Some of the scenes that I write are actual true scenes that have happened. When it comes to the work itself, when it comes to the crimes and all that,
yeah,
that's all fiction and made up.
I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
And it helps, you know, it helps me to tell the story.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Now these books are gritty. So not something that you want to read out loud to your children. There's, you know, there is language in them. And that's reflective of the construction trades in general. I mean, we, you know, a lot of guys, when we're out there, we are crass, but at the same time, when we go home, we leave a lot of that on the job and go home and we're pleasant to be around.
Yep. No, I served in the military for several years. I've been to Iraq, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan. I know all about the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the playful, you know, racial slurs and whatnot. Like, you know, I'm very familiar with the man brotherhood environment, and then going home and being, you know, paw and being hubby and cute and nice and whatnot with your wife or your kids. So, you know, I definitely understand it, and I could, you know, relate to that. And I definitely like the fact that you have based things off of some of your experiences, because you ground your reader in realism. So that way, when you have the fanatical, climactic and you know, epic fight scenes and shootouts and stuff, they're not, you know, like, what's going on? Like, you grounded them in some reality to where they're able to believe that world and how it works and whatnot. So it's a testament to your ability to world build and craft, and I applaud that.
Thank you. And that is another thing in my world building, as you say. I also base that on where I've been. In fact, in the second book, Slipping into Shadows, it's based down in Pueblo, Colorado. Mm. And I take that from a job that I actually worked on several years ago and some things that happened. And, you know, I do some research to get actual names of places, street names, you know, stuff that people can actually look at when they're possibly in that area and say, oh, man, I see what he was talking about.
Exactly. I like that level of detail. That shows a lot of care. And I like that, you know, maybe some of our listeners will be able to adopt that as well. Because, you know, one quick way to lose your reader is to not do your research. You know, I myself, I like science and whatnot, but I have, like, I'm more of a military background mindset person. You know, I've had experiences all over this world, but, you know, I have scientists in my books, and there are certain instruments and tools and devices they use, and there are certain chemicals and processes that I need to make sure make sense, because I don't want somebody who's, you know, 20, 21, who's, you know, a biochem, you know, student or something, or somebody that's into science to read my book, and then they're like, man, this is getting good, but this dude don't know what the hell he's talking about, you know, and put it down. Do your research, that way you can appeal and at least give, you know, credit to the job fields and the areas that you're writing about.
Right.
So I really appreciate that you have that. You know, have there been any strong obstacles with like writer's block or anything?
Every once in a while I will, you know, I'll get stuck on something or just not even be in the mood to write, you know. Yeah. It's but you got to push through those. And in doing some of that, some of the ways that I combat that is having a few pieces that I'm working on simultaneously, so that when I'm stuck on one, I can bounce to another that's in a completely different genre. You know, my mind completely goes away from what it is I'm stuck on, so that then I can refresh.
Dang, you had, wow, Mr. Wesley, Mr. Wesley, over here dropping the gems. Like, I mean, I have never done that. I've never thought to be working on Nani. What? Over here dropping it. Yep. Hey, everybody that's listening, y'all need to take it from Mr. Wesley. That is a very, very intelligent strategy, you know, like, because I actually have a self-help book that I've been working on, but, you know, I'm more of a fiction writer. I love my fantasies and stuff like that, but I am a 31-year-old male who has been through marriage and divorce and war, and I've even, you know, I've been homeless before, I've been incarcerated before, you know, I've been through, you know, things that, you know, a little slap. I mean, when I say I was incarcerated, I got a little slap on the hand. I got a fight in a bar type deal. You know, it wasn't like
right. Some
crazy dilemma, but that time, those little 4 months I spent in there was enough time to witness things. Like, those 4 months, I really watched a lot of injustice and understood how the, you know, systemic incarceration system like works. Like, I've seen it. So, you know, it's a really cool idea to, like, because I've gotten stuck recently on my fiction writing. And now I'm thinking, yeah, what if I did just jump over to my self-help book and just take myself out of that, you know, genre completely and, you know, write about that. That may be, you really just hit something. Like,
it really does help, you know, because your mind is a tool, and, you know, sometimes you got to sharpen it. And to do that, you need to refresh and, you know, having different projects to go to. And sometimes I'll just get completely out of writing and go do a completely different project, whether it's something physical or whatever. But, you know, right now I actually can't do too much physical because I've been dealing with an injury, but, you know, Dang. That's neither here nor there. That's a whole different,
it's,
whole
no,
different thing.
I know you, I know why the universe had you say that, because literally as I was listening to you, I was like, man, I want to fight this guy. Not like on some, like, I'm mad at you, but you just, take it for what it is, you sound manly. And like, for some odd reason, the testosterone in me, and I'm pretty sure the female listeners are like, he's getting in, he's toxic masculinity. But I'm like, no, y'all don't understand. Like, men, we like that. We like to just hit each other sometimes and just brawl, you know, in good sport, you know, not trying to hurt each other, just a good wrestling match. And you sound like you're a strong individual, and I like it.
Well, that's, you know, I guess it comes with the trade as well. I mean, as you know, construction workers are known for being more burly, gruff, you know, tough, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
You have to,
you know.
I've done roofing, and I actually have a home preservation and infection prevention business. And I've done everything from install, you know, flooring, laminate tiles. I could build a house. Everything. The only thing I don't really mess with too much is electrical or plumbing, you know. But not to say I won't do it. I'll do it with, you know, the right guidance and the right team. But, you know, believe you me, I have been on hot-ass roofs. So it definitely takes it takes a certain kind of resilience and strength, just not even physical, but also mental, even spiritual. You know, you got to have a certain level of spirit to be able to every day get back up and go do something. You know, I'm pretty sure, like, you using that job field, you get hurt. There have been times where I was being complacent. I don't smash a nail or you know, cut my finger with a nail or smash my hand with a hammer in the cold. And I tell you, I don't like that pain. That's a pain that I wouldn't even wish on my worst enemy. Like, hitting your hand with a hammer in the cold.
That hurts. You know, and doing iron. You know, like I do rebar is what my specific
trade
is. But yeah, in the cold, that stuff is, it's hard, it's heavy, and your fingers are constantly, you know, getting in between things. Several years ago, I smashed my fingers in a forklift, and yeah, that was the worst pain, I think, up to that point that I had ever felt.
Yes, and I've experienced that kind of pain, because, like, when I was in the military, you know, oh my God, Fort Drum, New York, was like the coldest, most desolate, most barren icicle wasteland I've ever been in my entire life. And I would. Do you have any idea how hard it is to fire your weapon and keep it straight and aim and hit your target while you're shivering in the cold? Like, it takes a lot of focus, because, you know, when you practice your trigger squeeze and everything, and when you got to squeeze that finger and it pop and the trigger pops back, is that vibration in the cold, man, it is stupid.
I can imagine. The coldest weather that I've ever been in was up in northern Ontario several years ago, and at 57 below, things just do not want to work. That's you know, doing anything in the cold is not fun.
Yeah. Speaking of doing anything in the cold, I actually remember one time when I was in Afghanistan. My God, I did not know it snowed in freaking Agrabah. Like, I did not know it snowed in the desert. Like, and oh God, that was the worst part. That wasn't the worst part. The worst part is, at one point during the night, it was like in February, because, like, you know, February for some odd reason is the coldest month. Because I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010, April 2010, and I came back, you know, the following year. And it was the following February when I was in Afghanistan. Like, we had our power go out in our tents. And, you know, I had my sleeping bag, and I had, you know, a blanket from the bazaar that I had, you know, bought. And I was, like, shivering in that thing. And it was very cold. I mean, it was, like, you know, 30s or whatnot, or like 20s or something. Yeah. But it's still, when you're used to 140 degrees, you know, and then the Jesus, I hate that place. And our power went out, and I remember the generator, man. I will always respect generator mechanics, because them guys got out there. I mean, I went out there with them. Like, I'm holding lights with them. Like, yo, what we got to do? Like, I'm with y'all. You know, the sooner y'all get done with my generator, the sooner y'all can get to another one and y'all can get out this cold. You know, like, you know, that brotherhood. I'm not going to sit in a tent like a little female, like a scaredy wuss. I'm not going to say female. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, you know, that cancel culture will come quick.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, Oh man, and it's so it's funny because I've had a lot of conversations with I've had a transgender woman on the show 2 days ago, and I've had even today I had a woman who's from Pakistan who is writing a book because she has a friend who's transgender, and you know I let it be known that, you know, I fought for freedom. I'm fine with everything and everyone, and I'm even supportive of everything you do, as long as you can respect that I myself am just a heterosexual male, and I believe in just the old school traditions of man and woman. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to sit there and try to change you and, you know, everything that's about you.
Right.
You know, the same way you want me to respect you and abide by your way of loving and your way of living, do the same thing for me. Everybody's fine, you know.
That's right. Treat
And
everyone with respect and you know, live life accordingly.
absolutely. And it's funny because, you know, my actions, like I could honestly talk a bunch of trash and whatnot about the community, but my natural actions that I you know, exuberate in real life are nothing but benevolent. You know, do I be benevolent? I be saying that word.
Benevolent.
Benevolence, 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 benevolence. Jesus, boy, you write this word all the time.
I know that's kind of a big word for me.
Well, because it's one of my favorite words, and I don't know how it just keeps rolling out my mouth wrong. But if there was a if you could, you know, before we actually have to, you know, wrap this real quick introduction up, would you be kind enough to let us know where we can find the your websites and your books and anything about you?
Yes, on Amazon, amazon.com slash author slash James Wesley. That's where you will find the Iron Brotherhood series.
That sounds so
And
badass.
like I said, there's Meaner Than Evil and Slipping Into Shadows. And the first one, like I said, deals with a serial killer that's in the midst. It introduces everyone. And then in Slipping Into Shadows, it deals with human trafficking, and it's got some really tough issues and scenes that are in that it ends up leaving you with some satisfaction. I'll say that much. I don't want to give the store away, you know.
Yep.
But it by the time it's done, you're like, yeah, good job. You know, you want to jump in there and kick the snot out of some of the guys that get what's coming to them.
Hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I'm glad you're saying something because I do want some of my the fans that are part of the LGBT community and a lot of people who believe in you know, toxic masculinity to hear, you know, that there was a podcast or YouTube that I watched, a YouTube video I watched a while ago where a woman was like, you know, instead of, you know, men and women trying to bash toxic masculinity, let's try to promote, you know, you know, positive masculinity. And I feel like, you know, a form of positive masculinity is, you know, being a protector and a defender, you know, being somebody who will beat the crap out of somebody who is out there, you know, trafficking young girls or boys or whatnot. That's positive masculinity. You know, let's keep it
Right.
real. You know, somebody that is willing to step up and be a provider. And like, you know, I was having a conversation, and I hope Miss Morgan hears this because we are going to get back into some topics. You know, she's like, you know, like a man should be, you know, forced to put himself his life on the line or whatnot. And it's like I couldn't get through to her to help her understand is that that's something that's just really built and ingrained into us to be a protector, to lay your life on the line. And I believe it even stems to the spiritual aspect of like Jesus Christ. I believe the whole aspect of sacrificing yourself for others, you know, stems from that, you know. So
Yes.
I don't
Yep.
believe at all, like, you know, the whole protector aspect comes from, you know, some form of toxic masculinity. I believe is what we're supposed to be. Sometimes I ask myself, I'm like, people keep saying this and this and that, you know, equality this, toxic masculinity that. But if aliens came right now to attack this planet, men, majority of men would be the ones out there fighting. Yes, there are women who fight the good fight, but it's mainly made up of men because we ready to die for that. We ready to, you know, and it's
Right.
something you can't, you know, get through to some people's heads. But
Well,
it's
and one thing I can say about, you know, especially a lot of the men and women that are in the trades, even, you know, very protective of each other. Amen. And of others. You know, you hear a lot about bullying and things like that in schools and elsewhere. And most of the time, you'll see guys stand up when they see something going wrong that is just out of place. Yep. And, you know, if someone is being in danger for whatever reason, it doesn't even have to be, you know, in danger from another person. It's, you know, there's inherent dangers wherever we go. And, you know, most of the guys that I've come across in my years in iron, they do jump in when needed and help others out. You know, absolutely. They're all very, very benevolent, as you say, and and helpful in whatever regard. You know, whether it's, you know, someone needs $50 to make it to the end of the week,
yeah,
or yep, need a ride home and it's out of their way. You know, yep, hey, so be it.
I love that, and you know, that right there, what you just said, I know it exists as one of the core, you know, morals and values in your writing, and I hope that it inspires more camaraderie. And I love that you said the men and women in that job field, because I've even worked in the oil field in my lifetime, and I've seen women out there in those jumpsuits out there working hard. You know, realistically, the women I've seen out there actually working on the oil rigs are about as manly as, you know, the next guy. You know, just keeping it real, it ain't no little pretty model kind of chick or any kind of office chick working in this field. It's, you know, she tough, but she doing her thing. So I do like the fact that, you know, that camaraderie exists with men and women. You were saying?
Yep. I was just going to say that I've worked with, you know, several women that, you know, out in the field, they're just one of the guys.
Yep.
And then, you know, then they go get off work and go home, and they enjoy their femininity as well.
Yep.
And nothing wrong with any of it.
Yep. Everybody has. I mean, look, we've worked in these job fields with, you know, I've actually, even in the oil field, have worked with someone who's transgender and someone, and plenty of men who are gay. You know, it's everywhere, and it's normal. It's, you know, it's like you said, it's the brotherhood and the family that counts. Brotherhood, sisterhood, fatherhood, daughterhood, everything.
Yes.
But Mr. Westley, it has been an amazing podcast. I love this energy. I love the talk. I hope to my listeners, I didn't really bug y'all too much about my spiel on masculinity and whatnot. I would like to work with you guys on, you know, a balance with that, you know? So this has been another installment on Final X Legends, the $1 Billion Writers Club. Okay, guys, this is our creator standout, Mr. James. It's James, right? James Westley. Mr.
Yes,
Westley.
Sir.
I will always say your name like that. Just letting you know, like, when we have an interview in another, you know, 3-4 weeks, I'm believe you me. You know what? My goal is to make it to where when people go to your book signings, they be like, "Are you Mr. Westley?" You know, they'd be like, "Say your name like in the podcast, Mr. Westley."
James Westley.
Boom! There we go. That's what I'm talking about, everybody. Once again, I'm going to leave all the descriptions to his book, The Iron Brotherhood, Meaner Than Evil, are going to be in your hands sooner than later. They will be in the description. You all have a wonderful day. I love you all. Make sure to take time for yourself. Relax. Call your loved ones. Spend time with those people. Build good memories. Y'all stay blessed. Stay safe. We're out. Bye.